Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving into a home issue that can strike fear into pretty much any homeowner. Water damage to ceilings. You know, that dreaded stain or bulge that just appears seemingly out of nowhere. It feels like an immediate crisis.
It really does. And to guide us through this, we're looking at some expertise from an article called How to Repair a Water-Damaged Ceiling by Yourself. It's quite recent, updated May 2025. And the author, Vince Sandry, oh, he has a lot of experience in disaster restoration. So that's, you know, a pretty solid background for this topic.
Absolutely. Perfect background. So our mission today really is to pull out the crucial steps if you're thinking about a DIY repair. But just as important, we need to get clear on when the source material says, okay, time to step back, call in the pros. The idea is for you listening to feel well prepared and knowledgeable if this ever happens under your roof.
Yeah, and the source doesn't mince words about the severity. It states pretty unequivocally that water damage should be treated as an emergency. It needs prompt action, like right away.
An emergency. Okay, why so urgent? I mean, what makes water damage different? Different from other home repairs where you might, procrastinate a bit.
Well, it boils down to how water actually behaves. The article points out that water spreads incredibly easily and fast. It just gets soaked up by porous materials, not just the drywall you see, but insulation, wood framing, even furniture sitting below it. The more it spreads, the wider the damage zone becomes, the less stable things get, and you're quickly heading towards, real structural issues.
Right, and I think the source also mentioned mold, didn't it? Excess moisture is basically an open invitation.
Exactly. That's a huge part of the urgency. Delaying action doesn't just make the eventual repair bigger and more expensive. It actually introduces pretty significant risks. We're talking structural compromise, health hazards from mold. Acting fast isn't just like a good idea. The source presents it as essential. Essential for preventing serious damage and safety threats. It's about containing it before it balloons.
Got it. Okay, urgency established. So if you're facing this and you're deciding, okay, I'm going to try the DIY approach, what's the absolute foundational first thing the article says you must do?
The very first step, the most critical one, before you even like touch the damaged ceiling itself, stop the water source. The leak, whatever it is, has to be shut off, period.
That sounds obvious, sure, but my first thought is, what if you can't find it? Leaks can be really sneaky
Oh,
sometimes.
they absolutely can be. And the source acknowledges that challenge. It notes that sometimes you might actually need to remove some of the already damaged drywall just to trace the water's path back to the origin point. Water can travel, quite far along beams or inside walls before it finally decides to show up on your ceiling.
Wow. Okay. Having to cut into the ceiling just to find the leak, that sounds pretty nerve-wracking. But the article is firm. You have to find it.
Absolutely essential. The source is very clear. If you don't stop the source, any repairs you do, any patching on that ceiling, it's ultimately pointless. The damage will just keep happening. It'll lead to more extensive issues, definitely mold, and eventually much, much higher costs to fix it properly.
Okay. Let's assume you've managed it, found the leak, stopped it, maybe fixed a pipe, maybe got a tarp on a roof leak. What's the immediate next priority then for the DIYer?
Right. So once that water flow is stopped, the focus shifts completely. It's
Yeah.
all about drying out the affected areas thoroughly.
And how does the article suggest going about that effectively? It's got to be more than just like waiting for it to air dry, right?
Oh, much more. The source offers some really practical tips here. First off, protect everything underneath. Lay down tarps, cover furniture, floors. Then it's about aggressive drying. That means getting fans going to circulate air and, crucially, using dehumidifiers. The article specifically mentions using them extensively, especially after bigger events like flooding or major roof leaks. You have to pull out that hidden moisture trapped deep inside materials. That's key to stopping mold later.
So it's not just about drying the surface you can, physically see, but really getting that insidious moisture out from deep within. That feels critical.
It absolutely is. Hidden moisture is basically a ticking time bomb for mold growth. The article even gives a simple test for saturation. If water is still actively dripping from the ceiling, it's definitely too wet, it's saturated, you need more drying time, or you might need to physically remove those waterlogged sections.
And what about those bits that are really soaked, maybe even visibly bulging downwards with the weight of the water?
Ah, yes, the bulge. The article has a vivid suggestion for that. If a section is bulging or maybe still dripping heavily even after some drying, it advises you might need to just cut out those supersaturated sections entirely. And if it's bulging but not actively dripping, it suggests you could puncture it. carefully.
I picture it.
Yeah, and this is critical. Make absolutely sure you have a bucket or some container positioned right underneath first. You need to catch the water that's likely going to pour out. Doing that releases the trapped water and makes it easier to either dry the area properly or remove that section.
Okay, yeah. Picturing myself puncturing a water-filled bulge right over my head. That definitely sounds like a moment you want to be wearing some protective gear.
Absolutely. Which, conveniently, leads right into the next phase the article outlines, removing the damaged sections. And before you start any cutting or scraping, the source explicitly says, safety first, put on protective gear, safety goggles, a face mask, don't skip it.
Good advice. Always good advice.
Yeah.
So, what exactly are you clearing away at this stage?
Basically, you're going to scrape off anything that's obviously peeling or sagging or still kind of bulging after the area has dried as much as possible. And the article also says to remove sections that are just stained by the water, even if they haven't completely disintegrated.
Oh, really? Even just stains?
Yeah, because the stain itself can be really hard to cover effectively with paint later. Plus, that stain material might still be compromised structurally, or it could be harboring mold spores you can't see.
So if there's a stained area, but it isn't like structural mush, you still cut it out. How do you do that neatly enough to patch it later?
Right, the source gives a specific method for that exact scenario. If the drywall is stained but seems otherwise intact enough for patching, you can salvage the good stuff around it. The technique is to cut out only the affected section and make your cut in a clean, regular shape, usually a rectangle or a square. Use something like a keyhole saw. Cutting it neatly like that makes the next step, the patching, much, much simpler.
Okay, that makes sense. So, damaged bits are gone, stained bits are gone, cut out into a nice manageable shape. The area is dry. Now comes the actual repair work, right? How does the article guide us through rebuilding that section?
Exactly. This is the repair and finishing phase. First, a bit of prep work on the ceiling that's left. Use sandpaper. Smooth down any ridges or bumps or rough edges left around the hole or from the scraping you did earlier.
Just tidying up the edges before you start patching, getting it smooth.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Standard prep for any kind of smooth finish. Now, if you're dealing with just small holes, maybe screw holes or minor dings, rather than a big cutout, the article suggests filling those with joint compound. Let it dry completely, then sand it smooth again. Simple enough.
Right. But what about patching those bigger sections, the rectangles or squares we cut out?
Ah, the drywall patch. Yes, the article gets quite specific here. First, you measure the size of the hole you cut, carefully. Then you cut a new piece of drywall to be the patch. And here's the key instruction. Cut the new piece slightly larger than the hole. Specifically, the source recommends making it 2 inches wider and 2 inches longer than the hole itself.
2 inches bigger, why the extra overlap?
Well, that extra material around the edges, that overlap, gives you something solid to anchor the patch to the existing ceiling structure during installation. It helps secure it properly. The article mentions using a utility knife carefully and safely, of course, to cut the new drywall patch. And it sort of reinforces the point about only cutting what's needed, just the patch to fit the hole you made to be efficient, save costs, and avoid replacing perfectly good undamaged ceiling. Once that patch is installed and secured, then use more joint compound and tape, feathering it out, and finally smooth down any ridges or seams where the new patch meets the old ceiling. Sandpaper again. Get it ready for paint.
Okay, so the ceiling is repaired, patched, everything's smooth. Ready for those final steps to make it look like nothing ever happened?
Almost there. Step five, priming and painting. And the article circles back to practicality here, advising you ensure good ventilation. Open windows, maybe use a fan while you're working with primer and paint. Fumes, you know.
Right, safety and comfort. And product choice must be important here too, right? Especially after dealing with water damage.
Critically important, yes. The source specifically recommends using mold-resistant products, both for the primer and for the paint itself. This gives you an extra layer of defense against any potential future mold problems, kind of building on the thorough drying you did earlier.
Smart, very smart. And does the article suggest just like spot painting the repaired area, or should you do the whole ceiling?
It strongly advises priming and then repainting the entire ceiling surface, even if only a small section was damaged and repaired. Priming and painting the whole thing is really the best way, probably the only way, to ensure you get a uniform color and texture across the whole ceiling. Makes the repair virtually invisible. Just painting the patch, that will almost certainly stand out. You'll see it.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Okay, so those five key areas, stop the water, dry it out thoroughly, remove the damage safely, repair the surface, and then prime and paint properly. that gives a really solid DIY framework based on this source. But as you mentioned, the article isn't only focused on DIY, is it? It also talks about the limits of that approach.
Absolutely. Yeah, the source is very clear that while DIY is definitely viable for some situations, it's just not going to be sufficient for others, especially if the damage is really extensive or, and this is a big one, if you just cannot successfully identify and stop the source of the water yourself. That's a major flag.
So when does the article basically draw the line and say, okay, stop, this is a job for the professionals now?
It lists several key scenarios. Basically, if the scope of the job feels too large or too complex for you to handle confidently, or if you don't have access to the right equipment, especially for that really thorough drying or, you know, significant repairs, if you're genuinely unable to find or fix the leak source, that's a big one. If there are concerns about mold growth that seem beyond just minor surface stuff, or sometimes if you need help navigating potential insurance claims related to the damage, that can get complicated.
Okay. And if you do call in professional water damage restoration services, what does that typically involve? What do they do, according to the article?
Well, the source describes a pretty comprehensive process they undertake. They will accurately locate and then fix the water source that's step one for them too. They have specialized equipment, much more powerful than typical household stuff, to remove any standing water and, crucially, extract moisture that soaked deep into building materials. Then they'll thoroughly dry all the affected areas using industrial-grade air movers and dehumidifiers. It's a much more intensive process. They handle all the necessary repairs, both structural and cosmetic, ceiling, walls, whatever got damaged. And, really importantly, if mold growth is present, they have the proper training, protocols, and equipment for safe and complete mold removal, which is not something you generally want to tackle yourself on a large scale.
So they really manage the entire problem chain, huh?
Yeah.
From finding that elusive leak right through to the final paint job. And they handle the really tricky bits like hidden moisture and significant mold.
Precisely. The article essentially positions professional service as the definitive way to ensure the property is fully repaired, dried out correctly, and ultimately safe to live in again, especially for those larger or more complicated water damage situations.
This deep dive has certainly laid out a clear path, or maybe two paths, for handling water damage to ceilings. Whether you feel equipped for DIY or, you know, recognize the need for experts, that emphasis from the article on acting fast, that's a huge takeaway for me.
It really is. It seems to be the foundation of all the advice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Quick action just minimizes everything, the damage, the complexity, the cost.
Yeah. So, reflecting on everything the article covers, that critical urgency, the detailed DIY steps, and those pretty clear criteria for when professional help is, well, non-negotiable, here's something to leave you thinking about. In that actual moment, when you discover water damage, you're under pressure, you know you need to act quickly. How do you effectively size up the situation? How do you determine right then whether it's a manageable DIY project you can confidently handle versus a scenario that absolutely demands immediate expert help to protect your property and maybe even your health and safety in the long run? It really highlights that tricky balance, doesn't it, between being prepared and making a realistic assessment during a home emergency.